This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Joy Powers. The latest Marquette University Law School poll shows challenger Tony Evers holding a 5-point lead in his effort to unseat incumbent Scott Walker in the race for Wisconsin governor. That's an improvement for the Democrats since the last poll, which showed the candidates in a neck-and-neck race.
Election day is still more than 6 weeks away, and so one thing is almost assured: the war of television ads will continue to heat up in the coming days. And that's where we start our informed voter segment today. WUWM and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are collaborating to answer questions texted to us from potential Wisconsin voters. Journal Sentinel Capital Bureau reporter Molly Beck joins us on the line from Madison. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we talked about our Inform Voter project a couple of weeks ago on Lake Effect, and we've been gathering questions texted in from listeners and readers since then and dividing them roughly into subject areas. For today's installment, we've gotten a bunch of questions about campaign ads, many of them along the lines of this one.
This is Beatrice in Washington County. Where can I find out if the claims that candidates make against their opponents in their ads are accurate?
I would imagine this is something you probably hear quite a bit in covering state politics.
Yeah, that's true. And the answer is, sadly, you either have to do a lot of research yourself, or you have to know, obviously, I'm going to make a pitch that you should come to the Journal Sentinel website and look at our many PolitiFacts that our PolitiFact team does on these ads. And also reporters like Patrick Marley in the Capitol and myself, we do a number of stories whenever there's an ad out. And if there's something that's being, you know, mischaracterized or there's more context that we feel that potential voters need to know, we will write those stories. And so really it's just a matter of, you know, relying on your local media. From my perspective, I think that's the best source of, you know, understanding the whole story when you see these ads.
Well, and one of the other things that this speaks to is that campaign ads are really not about nuance here. There are probably a lot of ads that might have a grain of truth and a grain of falsehood.
Right. There always has to be a grain of truth, or else the people that are making the ads can get in trouble and the ads will have to be taken off the air. But for example, there's an ad running right now from Governor Walker's campaign, and it is against his opponent, State Superintendent Tony Evers. And there have been a lot of ads about whether or not Tony Evers should have revoked the teacher's license of a teacher in Middleton who was caught looking at pornography at school.
A teacher watched hardcore pornography in his classroom, showed obscene images to female co-workers, commented about the chest sizes of middle school girls, suggested one struggling student...
This is a pretty graphic ad, and it's getting a lot of attention because of what's in it. And the context to that is that while it's not completely made up, it is an accusation that somebody made against this teacher that could not be substantiated. But that's not in the ad. It makes it sound like this happened, this, you know, and there's no question that this happened when there is a question.
The challenging part here is understanding the context to the story, and that's typically not the point of a political ad.
Right. I mean, political ad needs to be short, and it needs to make a point. It needs to be memorable. And this ad is obviously memorable because there's a lot of people talking about it, and we've done a couple stories on what's in the ad and what's right about the ad and what needs more context or what is misleading, if anything's misleading. But the ad's job is not to be an article like in the newspaper. It's supposed to just make a quick emotional tug, you know, make an emotional appeal to the viewer.
Well, and so briefly, what have you been able to uncover in terms of Tony Evers' position when it came to either taking away this teacher's teaching license or restoring it?
Yeah, so it's an interesting issue that I'm sure you'll hear about this until Election Day. This case was very controversial in Middleton at the time. It happened about a decade ago. And Tony Evers said that, and said, continues to say that he could not revoke the license of that teacher because students never saw the material that the teacher was looking at. And at the time of the incident when the teacher was looking at this pornography, state law that you can revoke a teacher's license if, you know, students were harmed or affected in some way by this material. And no students ever saw the material, so he said under law, I can't revoke this license, but he did object to the behavior. And then right after that, lawmakers, or actually it was right before he decided to not revoke the license, they changed the state law so that Evers could revoke the license even if there's no students that were affected by it.
And that leads to another back and forth because there is, I believe, a Tony Evers commercial in which he makes the claim that he got the law changed.
Tony Evers would never put our children at risk. When the law stopped Tony Evers from revoking a teacher's license for viewing pornography, Tony worked with lawmakers from both parties to change the law so offenders could be kicked out of the classroom.
Right. It does imply that he was the one out there leading the effort to change the law, and that is not the case as far as I can gather. I wasn't actually working in the state at the time, so I don't remember, but what I found from, VPI documents and emails and talking to lawmakers who were involved in it and just looking at the legislative documents, it looks like that effort was led by a group of Republican lawmakers. But Tony Evers did work with them on changing the law, and he did support the law change. But if there's a claim being made that he was the one leading it, I don't believe that's true.
So the other issue that's had some back and forth, especially on television commercials, is healthcare and who would require that insurance companies cover people with pre-existing conditions.
For 8 years, Scott Walker has worked to sabotage the Affordable Care Act and undermine its protections for the 2.4 million people in Wisconsin with a pre-existing condition. As someone who has beat cancer, I'm one of those people.
That's why I'm shocked Tony Evers and his allies say Scott Walker would end protections for people with pre-existing conditions. People like me. Our bipartisan plan helps people keep their coverage by lowering...
We had one listener, Peggy from Greendale, who asked, I'd like to know how Governor Walker can be claiming that he is addressing pre-existing conditions at the same time the state is in a lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. They are diametrically opposed. So what do we know about the truth or fiction of the candidate's claims about insurance coverage for pre-existing conditions?
Right. So that is an issue that's... there's been a lot of back and forth on that this week and last week. Governor Walker is saying that he wants to keep those pre-existing conditions protections. At the same time, he did approve a lawsuit that Attorney General Brad Schimmel decided to join that would repeal the ACA, which would remove those protections if that is successful. He did call for legislation last year that would somehow ensure those protections if there was, in the event that the lawsuit was successful. But as your listener points out, there are a lot of people, mostly on the Democratic side, who are saying that this doesn't make sense. Like, why would you support a lawsuit at the same time you want to keep something that's very popular in the ACA? He says that there are other parts of the ACA that he doesn't like, but that particular part is something that Wisconsin can ensure goes forward even without that law in place.
He's making the case that the federal government shouldn't be playing the role of requiring insurance companies, but the state government could.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, a follow-up question also from Stu in Delafield, who writes, and I'll quote again, despite PolitiFact debunking, neither side walks back their statements. Do they really believe voters are that stupid and don't see through the posturing and theatrics? And our original question writer, Beatrice, asks, where are the muckrakers and watchdogs in this equation? They both speak to an issue here, which is that we could do all the debunking and fact-checking we can, but candidates aren't required to walk back anything they've said, and neither are the people who make the ads.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, candidates, we can write, 20 stories, PolitiFact. I mean, PolitiFact has done so many stories on just the Middleton teacher who was looking at pornography case. What what the journalists do and what they, how the candidates respond to that. You know, like we can't control how they respond to that. And there's nothing that enforces, you know, if we say, you know, here are the facts in this case and they conflict with what's in an ad, there's nothing that requires a candidate to acknowledge that.
I'm looking on my recording console here in the studio at an ad that the Republican Party of Wisconsin paid for, and it has a mock-up of a Journal Sentinel front page, which is obviously a recreation here. But as a political reporter, how do you feel when you see people in campaigns quoting your articles without necessarily giving the context?
Yeah, and that's where we come back in. You know, if we can't control that, if we see things like that, it's just like anything else. Like if we see, you know, potential voters absorbing information that we feel isn't complete or needs more context to understand what the facts of the case were, to make the best choice possible when they go into the voting booth, you know, that's what we have to do. And that's how we see all of that, you know, that it's, you know, we can't control what everybody else, how other people present the facts as we know them. But we can do that. We can control that. And luckily I work for a paper that is very interested in doing that as much as possible.
Well, Molly Beck, thank you so much for helping us try to weed through some facts and fictions.
Thanks for having me.
Molly Beck covers politics from the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel's State Capitol Bureau in Madison. You can learn how to participate in our Informed Voter Project at wuwm.com.